Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studio. Check it. This is WBC Boxing TV and Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now, of knocking out all bumps. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also an award-winning boxing writer and a four-time Golden Glove boxing champion. So allegedly, supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But I've always found out the average fan knows more. So I'm going to give you a chance here with the toll-free phone line to call us and give us your input on boxing. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. If you want to call us, you can drop us a text, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, we are hours away, of course, from the pay-per-view showdown. Gervonta Davis, unbeaten. Man, the guy's won titles of 135 and 130 pounds. Now taking on 140-pound champion Mario Barrios. Of course, the WBA title holder. We'll see what happens there. That is the main event tonight. Of course, it'll be 74.95, I think, on pay-per-view. But here's what I say. Call somebody up. Bring somebody over to the house. Do it, but go call two people up. Break it down into threes. That's right. Break it down into threes and get a pizza. Bottom line is, $79.99 is a lot of money, but if you split it up three ways, it's not that bad. You are listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, live view on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, and about 1,000 other internet platforms. Next up, boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
I'm not invincible. The great Floyd Mayweather isn't invincible. Nobody's invincible. You just have guys that are really, really good at what they do. And that's just what it is. But anybody can be knocked out. Anything can happen in that ring. And that's why boxing has the buzz and intrigue that it has. And that's why it'll never die, because I'm a huge sports fan. I watch all sports, but it's one thing to watch a team sport, but it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
Time to take it to the Bronx and bring in the Bronx Bomber himself, Mr. Socrates Palmer. Boxing's 2PhD. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. How are you doing?
It's a great day for boxing. Of course, the WBA junior welterweight champion, Mario Barrios. Of course, good-looking fighter. No doubt about that. Trained by Virgil Hunter over here in Oakland, California. Hayward, California. Taking on the tank, Gervonta Davis. Now, Davis has got his problems outside the ring, but when it comes to inside the ropes, he's unbeatable, or he looks unbeatable. Talk to me.
Gervonta Davis is one of those guys that when you know he's fighting, you plan your Saturday night around. You know, he fights in a very explosive style. He's flashy. He's got extremely fast hands, great punching power. And like you said, you know, his biggest weakness is outside the ring. You know, I think that's probably going to be his downfall at some point in his career. If he doesn't mature, you wonder how serious boxing is to him. But this Saturday, I don't see Mr. Barrios being, someone who's going to foil him. Well, who's going to be his foil.
But you say that, but yet again, we're moving up in weight, and I told you size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. This happens to be combat sports. And 140 pounds, the guy's going to weigh in probably about, when you step in the ring, probably about 153, 154 pounds. And, you know, Davis, even if he puts on a decent amount of weight, he's probably going to weigh in the low 40s, correct?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, because he is short, you know, which is another factor, not the fact that he's just putting, you know, putting on a few extra pounds. He's, you know, extremely short. And Berrios has to really fight tall, I think, to win. But he's got to be aggressive. You know, he can't show Tank respect. He has to show Tank early that, hey, you're coming up to my neighborhood. You know, yeah, it's not the other way around. I remember when Tank fought Pedraza, who's had a great past year and a half,
mm-hmm.
but Tank made Pedraza look extremely ordinary. And Pedraza, similar, body structure to Berrios, and he kind of just waited for Tank. You can't. I think Berrios has to be the aggressor. He's got to show who's the boss in there early. He's got to get Tank's respect, or Tank's going to run him over.
You know, Tank Davis, of course, Gervonta Davis, unbeaten, coming to us as the WBA lightweight champion, WBA junior lightweight champion. Of course, he was supposed to hook up with Ryan Garcia or talk about a fight with Ryan Garcia, but Ryan's got his issues. I'm going to have Mauricio on Sunday, so I guess we'll get the Ryan Garcia answers in. But have you heard anything about him being back in training?
He put up some pictures of him hitting the bag and doing some showboat moves. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's back with Reynoso or if he's just hitting the bag in his garage, but he posted that he's kind of has his issues behind him. Mm-hmm. He's looking forward to coming back into the ring. I had heard a possible opponent originally supposed to be Fortuna, but now there's somebody else. So
Scott Cuddy, Pedro Fernandez, maybe the Bronx Bomber. In other words, they're looking for a guy that can, right? Look at those three guys he can beat.
Hey, man. Kids are expensive. I'll take them.
Okay. You know, Virgil Hunter is going to be in the corner of Mr. Berrios. Of course, the guy that brought us Andre Ward. Of course, he discovered Andre Ward. He made Andre Ward. I mean, him and Andre were like 15, 14 years old together pushing. Andre was pushing a station wagon around out there in Hayward, California. That's how he sort of getting in shape, got real strong. Anyway, bottom line is he had a fighter in Andre Ward. He's a one of a kind. It's not one of a lifetime fighter. Is he an accomplished trainer outside of Andre Ward?
Well, he did work with Amir Khan for a little bit.
And what happened? What happened there? I'm sorry, Scott. I'm giving you a bad time.
I mean, it's like I always make the comparison that a trainer is not that different from a jockey in horse racing. You need the thoroughbred to win the race,
mm-hmm.
you know. And yeah, there are trainers that take guys from day one and mold them. You know, Emmanuel Stewart, Freddie Roach, you know, and there's some guys that are just great strategists, great motivators. Virgil, he's great on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he seems like a very calming voice in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
He you know, and he has like that professor vibe, you know, he commands that respect in the corner. And I think the fighters that he's had, you know, kind of gravitate to that. And Andre Ward, it's almost like similar personalities. You know, you hear Andre on TV and the way he fights, he's cool under pressure. And I think if he's able to pull off the upset tomorrow, then it's like, wow, you know, it's going to be major props for Virgil Hunter. Not that he needs it because, you know, he trained one of the great fighters of all time. In Andre Ward.
Well, I don't know if he was the greatest fighter, but one of the greatest of all time. He could have been. I think that he misses potential by not signing with a major promoter. Don't you think? I mean, had he went with Don King or Bob Arum instead of Dan Goosen, I mean, all due respect to Dan Goosen, but Dan Goosen was sort of like AAA compared to the New York Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, and also the fact that Andre didn't fight in the most exciting style. I mean, outside of the Super Six, you know, when he ran through that, really made Andre's career.
Yeah.
You know, without that, I mean, we're not, I'm not talking about Andre Ward.
Okay.
You know, and it's funny because at the beginning of Andre's career, Andre's, chin was in question. He got dropped by a schmo.
Yeah,
on Fox.
I was there, and that was down there in near Fresno, California. We were a bit surprised about that, but,
right.
You know, and Gary Radnish told me he had a bad chin. I said, Gary, how can you say that he got dropped by a bum. I go, oh, Gary, how can you say that your father was a professional fighter? And yeah, and you would have said the guy was a bum. Oh, man. Anyway, Gary Radnish, of course, of, KMBR Radio here. But Andre Ward, you can tell he's training. To look at him, I mean, he's got no more double chin. He had a double chin 3 months ago, and it's gone.
You know, he's on TV. I mean, you got to look presentable, right?
No, bro. No. I'm telling you, he has really trimmed up his act in the last 120 days.
Do you think that he's starting to... To get that itch and chasing that one big check.
One big check with Canelo.
With red hair?
Yeah, with the kid with the red hair. No doubt about that.
Yeah, you stole my punchline. Yeah, the red hair and
The red hair and maybe, you know, I mean, he can make more money in one fight than he ever made in his entire career.
That is without a doubt. Wow. Absolutely.
We're talking about Andre Ward, of course, the 2004 Olympic gold medalist. When I predicted he would win the gold medal, everybody said to me, you're a shill. I said, no, he's going to do it. And he did it, and that wasn't a shill. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Back with Socrates Palmer, Boxing's PhD, after the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. You ought to be having fun. Come on, have
some fun with me. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
So with this big night of fighting, of course, we've got Tank Davis in a fight. He's supposed to roll through, roll over Mr. Berrios. He's a 5-1 favorite. Gustavo Lomachenko returns against Nakatani.
Yeah, that's a really interesting fight. You know, I think the it's a shame, you know, that it's almost been overshadowed, or he's sharing the spotlight with Davis. When at one point there were rumors that they were both going to meet, you know, Lomachenko, everyone's anticipating, was it just a bad night against Teofimo Lopez? How much does he have left in the tank? Pardon the pun. Nakatani's not a pushover. It's a really good test. We saw Nakatani, Teofimo Lopez a rough night.
He turned the guy into a murderer.
Yes, he did. His last time out, he smoked Verdejo. So this guy
explain to the audience what Verdejo did, because we just went in there and they said, "What's he talking about?"
Well, okay. I mean, Felix Verdejo performed one of the most heinous acts of
mankind
of the modern. Yeah, man, this is a real, you know. Despicable human being.
He killed his pregnant mistress. That's what we're alluding to. He killed his pregnant mistress. Okay, so we've got these fights going on. Davis wins. Hector says Davis wins going away. You say he wins. He wins. The other guy's got to fight big. If he doesn't fight big, he gets smoked within 7-8 rounds.
I think so. I mean, the one thing that Berrios has, at least psychologically, he's an undefeated fighter. I mean, that's something that carries weight. Then again, who has he beaten? But still, he's an undefeated fighter. He hasn't lost a fight. So he's got that aura of invincibility. He's Mexican. Leo Santa Cruz, when's the last time Tank had a real fight? I mean, if you think about it, because I mean, it's been a long layoff. The last time he fought a blown up bantamweight in Santa Cruz. So if I wanted to make a case for Berrios, I could, but I just can't see that happening. I mean, I think Tank Davis is a special fighter. And I hope that Berrios puts up a good show. And I don't want to hear Showtime jumping out of their seats calling Tank Davis a world champion, because this is a Fugazi belt. The real champion at 140 pounds is Josh Taylor.
Now, you know, now Mr. Hector's saying that this guy's going to run through the entire 140-pound division. Of course, we're going to bet with him on that one, so we'll see what's happening as far as that's concerned. But 140 pounds, it seems to be rocking and rolling. I mean, you know, I think Josh Shelley is a real deal. He took care of Jose Ramirez, so I thought it was a pretty decisive fight, although he sort of made it a little, how can I put this, a little closer than he needed to make it, because he was pretty comfortable in that fight. But I think he's the best at 140, and we'll see what happens after tomorrow night. But evidently, Davis is going to look to fight him for all the belts.
That's supposed to be the move, but I think Bob Arum and Josh Taylor have Terrence Crawford in their sights, which would probably could be a bigger payday. I mean, especially if they have that fight overseas.
What
I think
about payday versus risk, though? You see what I'm saying? I like paydays and less risk. In other words, if I can make $3 million fighting Davis and have less of a risk, you see what I'm saying? And making $5 million fighting the other guy?
Definitely makes sense. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You are thinking of your future. Absolutely. As opposed to cashing out. I would agree. Okay. I definitely would see Tank as an easier fight than Terrence Crawford, because Tank is going to fight one way. That's the only way for him to beat a Josh Taylor is to catch him on the chin, and Josh Taylor has a great chin.
Good point.
Terrence Crawford is a dynamic fighter.
Okay. Michael Dasmarinas came in from the Philippines last week. He was talking all kinds of smack, and I said to him myself, you know, this is probably not the guy you should be talking all this kind of smack to, Nonoa Inouye, and it wasn't. Inouye just took him apart.
That dude is the real deal, man. That's
the monster.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the great nickname, and he's just a beast. He really is. That body shot was, you know, to quote Mike Tyson, just murderous. You know, it was a vicious shot, and Inouye keeps making his claim, you know, in the conversation of the best pound for pound fighters in the world. I know another Filipino has been lobbying a rematch in Donaire, and we're probably going to see that next.
No, it looks like Donaire is going to take on the WBO champion, and then the winner is going to take on fight for all the belts. That's the rumor I've been hearing.
Okay. I mean, probably be best for Donaire, because I don't see a rematch, you know, being any different. Okay. Just because of the age.
Okay, the WBC number one ranked middleweight was on in action last week. I'm talking about Jaime McGee. He was the winner of a guy by the name of Camille Cesar Moreira. We'll just put it like that. Camille is toast. And Jermell Charlo was the winner as well, over Juan Macias Montiel. Of course, that one went to distance. McGee was the winner inside the distance. McGee is ranked number one at 160. How do he and Charlo match up?
You know what? It's funny because Munguia stopped Montiel when they fought.
Yeah.
And Munguia's a record of opponents has been kind of like, okay, he's got 37 fights, 38 fights, and we're still kind of waiting for the quote unquote step up. you know, but he took care of Montiel. And last week, Montiel gave Charlo some issues. He had his moments. He buzzed Charlo. I don't know if it was a matter of him not taking an opponent serious, but Montiel came to fight. He came to win, came up short. You know, the Charlos, I was as high on the Charlo brothers as anyone. I mean, I thought they were the real deal, but they have, you talk about just their careers just taking a sideways step. Like, you know, I don't know if it's that curse of PBC. They're getting paid good money.
Last week, Charlo says, you know, I'm staying at 160 pounds. That's my weight class. If Canelo wants to fight me, he can come to 160. I mean, that's sort of like saying, you know, I'm a AAA ball player, but I want to play in the World Series against, you know, the best pitcher in the entire world, but he's got to do it in my ballpark. That ain't going to happen.
Yeah, it's an easy way to avoid a big fight. And I don't think that Canelo is going to be chasing Charlo anytime soon. If Charlo's content to make good paydays and still be questioned, that's on him. You know, do fighters want that legacy, you know, or the check?
Okay. Does Munguia look like he's, I mean, he was starving at 154. I mean, I know because I watched him do a couple of fights where before the fight, you could see the guy 3 days before he was like dizzy. You know what I'm saying? Like he's dizzy and trying to make weight. So at 154, that was a pain in the butt for him. At 160, he seems to have filled out. I watched his performance last week. Mechanically, he's sound.
Yeah. I mean, I think he is, improving. He looked very green a couple of years ago, and it could have been the weight, playing a factor. I think he's improving. He's got youth. And I think right now, if I was buying stock between the two, him or Charlo, I'd probably go with Munguia. I think Munguia has a better future.
Well, you know, as I said, ranked number one at the WBC, of course, at 160 pounds. At 168, the number one ranked guy is going to be David Benavidez. Of course, him and Canelo are going to eventually hook it up. Is that next year? Is that the Cinco de Mayo fight for May of next year?
That would probably make the most sense, considering that Canelo takes care of Caleb Plant. I don't know if that fight has been made official, but, you know, I guess Caleb is just, you know, negotiating his worth, and props to him because it's going to be his last big payday. And hopefully we get Benavidez and Canelo, although Canelo did say he would never fight a Mexican. But Benavidez is half Ecuadorian, so yeah. Maybe he makes an exception.
Good point. As far as the pound-for-pound fighter in the world is concerned, Canelo Alvarez, of course, he's coming off the Billy Joe Saunders win, had the win earlier this year. Is he going to take on the Caleb guy for the WBA belt? Is that the plan for September and then in November, possibly maybe Benavidez or another opponent? Or Andre Ward?
Well, I mean, that's been his goal for the last year and a half. He said he wants to unify all the belts at 168 pounds, and Caleb Plant is the last piece of the puzzle. If Caleb Plant prices himself out, then an Andre Ward fight is a very sellable fight. I mean, it's, you know, arguably the two most dominant fighters of the last 20 years, and it would be great. You know, Andre Ward, I mean, it would be tremendous.
Speaking of the greatest fighters of the last 25 years, Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. had an exhibition last week with Hector Camacho Jr. His two sons were on the card. One of those kids lost to Canelo's brother, who isn't a great fighter to begin with, and then the other guy lost to Anderson Silva, the MMA fighter, who weighed 205 pounds when he got in the ring. I mean, because they weighed in at 184, he went out and he gained 20 pounds in Silva, so it was 205 pounds. Chavez was barely 170, 180, you know what I mean? So what I'm trying to say is Chavez again screwed himself, didn't come in prepared.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't want to sound like I don't want to make it sound personal, because when you criticize Chavez, there's no other way. You know, like, you could question his manhood, you can question his desire. I mean, he's gotten opportunities that other fighters will not get, you know, simply based off of his last name. So he has become a very easy person to dislike, you know. He just has zero respect for himself, seems that way, or his legacy.
Last question for Boxing's PhD. I heard that Freddie Roach doesn't want to go to the Philippines and work with Manny Pacquiao. Do you think he should? Is this the perfect time to bring Alex Ariza back?
Well, that's a loaded question, because, you know, Alex and Freddie are not on the best of terms.
No, I'm not talking about Alex. I'm not talking about Alex and Freddie. I'm talking about Alex and Manny. I mean, let's move Freddie right out of the picture.
Well, you know, Manny seems to be a loyal guy to Freddie. You know, he considers him a father figure. But as far as I know, Alex and Manny are still pretty cool.
They are real cool.
It would be great. I mean, because let's face it, Manny Pacquiao's best run was when him and Freddie were together, and Alex was a part of that.
No doubt about that. Socrates, we're running up on a hard break. Say hello to the kids. Say hello to the family. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, my brother. Enjoy the fights. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Let's do it. Anybody who wants to fight, let's go.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
How did I get up from the knockdowns? I don't know.
Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Of course, the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide will come to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. We'll get our live stream going tomorrow. Of course, the Godfather, the retired HBO Godfather, Larry Merchant will be in the house, as will the WBC president, El Presidente. I'm talking about Mauricio Sulaiman, of course. I used to say Jose Sulaiman. Every time I introduce him, I go places. Hey, this is Jose. Just have a hard time with it. You know what I mean? Jose's always been my guy. He was always the WBC president. I think of him as a WBC president. Even though his son is a WBC president, I still have a hard time calling Mauricio El Presidente. But that's just the way it is. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Checking your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, the fight is set for July. I'm talking about the heavyweight championship of the world, the undefeated Tyson Fury, the linear world heavyweight champion, 30-0. That one draw, of course, against Deontay Wilder. They're going to hook it up this third time. This is not a rubber match because that would mean there been one guy won, each guy won one fight. That's what you call a rubber match, a third match. Well, this isn't a rubber match because the first fight was a draw, although it was a bit of a ripoff as far as Tyson Fury was concerned. I mean, I thought he beat Deontay Wilder handled it the first time. The second time, he blitzed him. I mean, he didn't win a round. He didn't think about that. They fought like 19 rounds total, right? 12 the first time, 7 the second time, or almost 7 the second time. He never won a round, except for the two times he knocked him down. He knocked him down that last round of the first fight, and knocked him, I think, in the seventh round of the first fight. So outside of those two knockdowns, Deontay Wilder wasn't in the fight at all, not even slightly. I mean, it wasn't even close. So how they called that first fight a draw, I thought the Irish and the English and the fans and this and that, they behaved very well down there at the Staples Center, because I thought they were going to burn the place down. I mean, their guy just got, he should have got the elevator. I should have taken it back. He should have got the penthouse and said he got the elevator, got the shaft, okay? He shouldn't have got the shaft that night. He deserved to win. Of course, in the rematch, there was no doubt in the rematch. I mean, the rematch, it was all about Tyson Fury. I mean, Tyson Fury now, of course, going to do it the third time. The reason why they didn't fight Anthony Joshua, of course, that was a big fight, and that was all signed and set for in the summertime in Saudi Arabia. It was like $100 million each guy or something like that. But what happened was the fight was pulled because Anthony Joshua doesn't want to fight that fight right now. He wants to fight one more fight on his Sky Sports contract, get rid of the Sky Sports contract, and then sign with DAZN. Of course, DAZN is going to be carrying this fight with Tyson Fury. And in fact, DAZN's got everybody now. Eddie Hearn's got just about everybody. He's got Canelo. I mean, who doesn't he have? Think about that. Who does Oscar have anymore? Oscar doesn't have a whole lot of guys. He just doesn't. I mean, Oscar lost Canelo. Oscar's got Ryan Garcia right now. But outside of Ryan, and Ryan's sort of like in a little bit of a hiatus because of his mental health issues. We wish him the very best luck, and we want him to come back real soon. But outside of Ryan, what does Oscar have? Oscar ain't got a whole lot, man. He just ain't got a whole lot. Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy Promotions, of course. I don't know. I got to put this. He's made over $200 million, they tell me, as a promoter. I don't know where he's made it, but the more power to him. He's made over $200 million. More power to him. No doubt about that. Some of the texts coming in here. Potential matchups. Back in the day. They want me to do this. I don't know. Hypothetical matchups are tough. Anyway, Mike Tyson and Ernie Shavers. Ernie Shavers was slow. Ernie Shavers was as slow as dripping oil. You know what dripping oil is? In other words, like you pull the dipstick out of your car and you watch the dipstick, you watch the oil drip off you. That's how slow Ernie Shavers is. Ernie Shavers is a murderous puncher. He can punch like nobody ever. I mean, he's the hardest puncher in the history of the heavyweight division, the history of boxing. No doubt about that. Except maybe against except Francis Ngannou, this new UFC guy. But, I mean, there's no doubt about it. He was a hell of a puncher, but he also had a shady chin. It wasn't shady to the point where it was glass, but it was shady. When he got knocked on it, he got hit on it by a good puncher. He didn't respond all that well at times, of course. He got knocked out in a few losses, but Ernie Shavers and Mike Tyson, that would be no match. I mean, you saw Mike Tyson, the Bone Crusher Smith. Mike had way too much respect for Bone Crusher. What was that, May of 1988? I think we were outdoors at the Hilton Hotel in Las Vegas. Of course, Bone Crusher Smith held on for 11 rounds. I was screaming from the fourth row, let him go! Let him go! Let him go! Bone Crusher kept holding him. So Bone Crusher finally lets loose, doesn't hold him in the 12th round. I think the last round, he hits Tyson on the chin, wobbles Tyson's legs. I mean, he had a chance, but you have to throw punches to win fights. You can't win fights posing. You just can't. I mean, somebody told me Willie Pep won a fight, won a round one time without throwing a round. Well, if he did, without throwing a punch. Well, if he won a round without throwing a punch, the judges were fixed, so they were incompetent. Which one is it? I mean, straight, which one is it? Think about that. No doubt about that. Now, the other heavyweight, of course, Anthony Joshua, going to take on Oleg Usyk. Of course, he's the former cruiserweight champion of the world, a guy that looked like a monster at 200 pounds, but at 205 pounds or 210 pounds or 220, he don't look like a monster anymore. He just doesn't. He looks very ordinary, very, put it this way. When you're running through guys like a tank, taking the Tank Davis thing, when you're running through guys like a tank at cruiserweight, he was running over guys like you in the match. He was knocking everybody out. He stepped up to heavyweight. Didn't go all that well for him. I don't think he's that much of a heavyweight. I really don't. And, you know, people say to me, well, you know, it's only 5-10 pounds. It isn't 5 or 10 pounds because, you know, these guys, the WBC's got this new division out called Bridgeweight. It's 224 and a half pounds, I think, or less, okay? So 225 pounds and up is the heavyweight. Now, the Bridgeweight is the 224 pounds or less, which I think is pretty cool because there are all these in-between heavyweights. And if you're an in-between heavyweight weighing 210 pounds, you can't fight a guy that's weighing 260. You just can't do it. I mean, unless he's a big, you know, fat slob or something like that. But for the most part, you know, size matters in two things: pornography and combat sports. Well, this is combat sports, and without a doubt, you know, you've got to be able to pack that muscle on. I don't think Oleg Usyk has got the muscle. I don't think he can make it as a heavyweight. I think the one payday, he's going to cash in on this one payday with Anthony Joshua. They'll probably pack up Wembley Stadium or something like that because they're opening up the crowds here in the UK. So they'll probably sell out the stadium. And because, you know, Anthony Joshua, the 2012 Olympic gold medalist, he can sell out Wembley Stadium against me or Scott Cuddy or anybody like that. Don't take no monster to sell out Wembley with Anthony Joshua or Tyson Fury because the English are behind their fighters 200%, no doubt about that. I mean, the Marcus Queensberry rules, where did it begin? In England. Well, that's where boxing is held in its highest regard, no doubt about that, in England, the UK. Now, as far as Glasgow, Scotland's concerned, of course, Glasgow's got some champions as well, and things are starting to move. Josh Taylor's looking good. I mean, Josh is going to bring it. Josh is going to bring it at 140. Of course, Hector says Tank Davis is going to beat him. Well, we'll see what happens when that goes down. We'll have to bet a little cheeseburger on that one. Of course, Hector and I bet nothing but cheeseburgers back and forth. It's never any money because we're good friends. You don't want to take your money from your friends. You know what I'm saying? Take a cheeseburger from them. Ain't no big thing. As far as heavyweights are concerned, I don't see anything on the horizon outside of the guys that we're already looking at. I really don't. I mean, Joshua, Trevor Ryan, who the hell is that? He's got some WBA title belt or something like that. I mean, come be serious, okay? And Mahmoud Char, he's got another WBA. So, like, there's three WBA champions, I believe. I think Joshua's a WBA champion. I think Mahmoud Char is a WBA champion. And Trevor Bryan is a WBA champion. So you've got three heavyweight champions for the WBA alone. So let's go through the top 10 of the WBC as far as heavyweights are concerned. Top 10, of course, the top fighter is the heavyweight champion of the world, Mr. Tyson Fury, undefeated, 30-0 with one draw. Dillian White is the ranked number one, the interim champion. I guess they're going to give him a next shot after Deontay Wilder, if he were to say victorious. Deontay Wilder's ranked number one. Oleg Usyk's ranked number two. Andy Ruiz, of course, looking better in his comeback fight a couple of months ago. Look better than he had in the past. Luis Ortiz is like that 45-year-old Cuban. He's older than Fidel Castro. He was there when Castro did the revolution. That's how old he is. Joseph Parker, of course, from New Zealand, a Samoan dude. Not all impressive, man. He's the most passive Samoan I've ever seen in my life. Every Samoan I've seen, every guy from the islands is just an animal, except Joseph Parker. There's always an exception to the rule, and it looks like the exception is Mr. Joseph Parker. Joe Joyce, ranked number six, of course, by the WBC. Michael, the bounty hunter. Let me tell you about the bounty hunter. Michael Hunter is a heavyweight contender, ranked number seven by the WBC. His father was named Mike the Bounty Hunter. He and I went all over the world together. We went to China one time. I think he ripped his knee apart in China sparring, and then he ended up being on the card or something like that. But Mike the Bounty Hunter and I, we did a fight down in Irvine, California for the Z Channel. He's fighting somebody. He's doing all this crazy stuff, and I've never seen anything like this. I mean, he's like doing all kinds of crazy with his head movement and hands down around his back, putting his hands behind his back, all kinds of crazy stuff. So what is this all about? Anyway, Michael the Bounty Hunter ended up being a pretty damn good cruiserweight. Of course, he graduated from the club fighter levels when we were at in Irvine, California, stepped up and did some things at cruiserweight, and now his son's trying to rock and roll it at heavyweight. Best of power to best of luck to him. Number eight is Alexander Povetkin. He has been retired. Number nine is F.A. Ajobaga. He obviously is a Samoan, I believe. Philip Haragic is number 10. Ajit Karabel is number 11. Tony Yoka is number 12. Frank Santos. You ever heard any of these guys? Hell no! Go up to number 15, Derek Chisora. So I guess we're looking at the top four or five there, the WBC. WBA, number one is Oleg Usyk as far as contenders are concerned. Number two is Luis Ortiz. Andy Ruiz, number three. Number four is Bogdan Dunu. And number five is Deontay Wilder. These are sanctioned bodies. Everybody's got a sanctioning body. Of course, the IBF, the International Boxing Federation, some people call it the International Black Federation because of the fact that they had so many black champions. But then again, you have to realize the WBC has a lot of Mexican champions, okay? They're in South America, they're in Mexico. The IBF is ranked in is based in New Jersey. They've always had an akin or a favoritism towards black fighters. This is the way it is. That's the International Boxing Federation. Of course, Bob Lee, the president of the International Boxing Federation, spent 3.5 years in prison. and I'm the one that told him. I mean, I went to the, I think it was 2000, something like that. I was doing the television for Don King. We were doing, I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, we're doing Evander Holyfield, and I'll get to me in just a second. Anyway, we're doing Evander Holyfield's fight with Von Bean in Atlanta, and I had seen a tape when I was in Las Vegas. The FBI showed me a tape of Bob Lee taking a bribe from Doug Beavers. So when I saw Bob Lee, I wanted to tell him, hey, look, the feds have got pictures of you taking this bribe from this guy. And I think the feds wanted me to tell him. That's why they showed it to me. So they wanted to turn him government witness, okay? So anyway, I said, Bob, I've got some stuff that I need to tell you. It's personal. Well, you can tell me in front of these guys, Pedro. Nothing to do personal. You can tell me in front of these guys. Go on. So I said, okay, well, I just saw a film of you taking $30,000 from Doug Beavers in a hotel room in I think it was in Delaware or something like that. And he started popping nitroglycerin pills. He popped two of them in front of him, reached into his pocket, pulled out his heart medication, started taking nitroglycerin pills. He started freaking out. Of course, he would spend 2.5 years, almost 3 years in the pen for, not ratting his guys out. He wouldn't rat out Don King. He wouldn't rat out Cedric Kushner. He wouldn't rat out anybody. He was an old gangster godfather that went. He took it with him. He took it with him. He's still about 83, 84 years old. He's still rocking and rolling. Speaking of rocking and rolling, Don King, August 21st, he's going to turn 90 years old. Now, Cuddy's already 90. I'm 92, okay? But he's going to turn 90 years old August 21st. We wish Don King a very happy birthday. Of course, that's coming up real soon. He's going to have a big celebration, I've been told. Sometimes he answers the phone. Sometimes he doesn't. So I never know whether he's copacetic or not. In other words, he's 90 years old. And sometimes I have talked to him in the past year. Sometimes he's been really spot on. Other times he's been a little bit flaky. So I really don't know which way to go as far as the wire-haired wonder Don King is concerned. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is the Saturday edition. Of course, Sunday, tomorrow, HBO retired godfather Mr. Larry Merchant will be here, as will the president of the World Boxing Council, Mauricio Sulaiman. He will be here tomorrow. Of course, you can always check out the WBC on their website at WBCBoxing.com. That's WBCBoxing.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, of course, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 o'clock in Honolulu, Hawaii, for Rod and all those hot guys over there in Honolulu. Want to say hello to them. Of course, we come to you Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. Saturday for an hour, Sunday for 2 hours. Of course, live on SiriusXM Satellite Radio, Channel 217, live on SportsByline.com, live on iHeartRadio, the Sports Byline USA channel. Of course, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. No doubt about that. Watch our streaming video. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
it's my theory that if that Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King.
Well, you have to talk to my lawyer on that one.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Boom!
About to wrap up the Saturday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Checking your inside look at the world of boxing. We do a little MMA. In fact, I will go through over the MMA weekend tomorrow on the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, the UFC, which I consider brutal and pimpish and all that kind of good stuff. In other words, if you're going to let guys get killed, at least pay them. If you can get guys, get the snot beat out of them to where they can't be the same again, at least pay them some money. Don't give them $35,000 as a bonus, Dana. That's just the way Dana is. Dana's a cheapskate. I think Dana's a pimp of all pimps. If I go off on the Dana White thing, I'm going to get in trouble, so I won't. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look at the world of boxing, MMA. I want to thank the boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer, of course, spending some time with us as he does each and every Saturday. And I want to pick the fights tonight. As far as the fights are concerned, Gervonta Davis, I think he wins within 10 rounds. I just do. I think that the young man, Barrasas, definitely brings it. He's tall. He's undefeated. But I think that eventually that Tank Davis is going to be able to get under his guard and work that body. Once he works the body a few times, they go and end up getting the young man from Texas to fight a little closer than he wants to, because he wants to fight at a distance. He wants to fight tall. He wants to fight long. He wants to fight big. Okay, but you can't fight big when this little guy is like a fire plug and he's hitting you with lefts and rights to the body and the head, and God knows what kind of combination he's coming at you with. But the bottom line is, he's one hell of a fighter. I think that Davis is going to win tonight without a doubt. And I think that Vasyl Lomachenko wins without a doubt. Unless he's solely shot, I think he beats Nakatani. So that's basically the two big fights for the evening, no doubt about that. Of course, the card's on pay-per-view. If you want to watch Gervonta Davis fight, I suggest you either get somebody over your house or split the $75 for the pay-per-view, or, you know, get two or three guys over the house. Or go up to Cuddy's house. Right across the street from Cuddy's house, they got a big nightclub. They're showing the thing on the big screen. So if you can go to a bar, a sports club, maybe something like that, avoid the $75.95 or $74.95, because that's a lot of money for pay-per-view. Till next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.